Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle Radio. Each week, the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in finance take you beyond the numbers and hype, right to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week, we're once again putting the art market in the frame. This past week, Art Basel and UBS published the 8th Art Basel and UBS Global Art Market Report, the 2024 edition, once again authored by renowned cultural economist Dr. Claire McAndrew of Arts Economics. This annual report provides a comprehensive macroeconomic analysis of the state of the global art market in the preceding 12 months. And today we're going to be discussing some of the key findings, from global sales to the leading markets, insights into sales channels and platforms, to a broad brush outlook on the direction of travel ahead. We start this special programme with Noah Horowitz, Art Basel's CEO. Noah, welcome back to the show. Always a delight around this time of year to chat to you about the report. Let me start by asking you, what's your take on the big picture here, Noah? Give us a bit of a snapshot of some of the key learnings as you see it.
Yeah, so you know, the market eased off of pretty substantial levels from 2022 in a post-COVID world. You know, it's clear based on, you know, the results that we're now seeing, but I think many participants and actors in the market felt as the year progressed that the high end of the market had indeed eased. We saw that generally also coming off of some extraordinary collections in estates in the 2022 period. And there were a number of major sales clearly in 2023, but the overall values, you know, were down. And that was then reflected both, you know, at auction, and also then in sales manifest through the private part of the trade at gallery and dealer level. Having said all of that, there's still resonant activity within the market in the first half of the year as China reopened, and we felt that impact as a business at Art Basel very acutely in Hong Kong in Q1. We saw a lot of Asian collectors attending our shows, coming through the market in both Basel as well as in Paris in the fall. And as the year wrapped, I think the general feeling was that there was a resonant baseline of support in the market at the major marquee auctions in New York at Christie's and Sotheby's, but also in the fair and gallery landscape, scoped through a really strong second edition in Paris, and then an incredibly vibrant Art Basel Miami Beach in December. And so I think what we had in balance then was a market that had eased off of some very high levels, that had some value getting pulled out of the top end, that had ricochet effects down in the market in terms of the overall value of sales, but equally a very strong baseline of support with a lot of new collectors coming into the market as well, that lend a lot of confidence around, you know, green shoots in terms of new collectors, activity in the online domain, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, yeah, and if I can just ask you about that specifically, because I think it's always exciting if there is this feeling, and again, supported by actual data, that there is participation from new, maybe younger global buyers. There's different dynamics that are shaping their collecting habits and their interests. And I guess that speaks to the possibilities for new trends, new narratives in the art world. What do you understand, I think, about some of those newer movers and maybe some of the trends they're reacting to, Noah?
I think the data speaks for itself. At a broader narrative level, you know, we're seeing an art industry globally undergo some pretty major changes in the composition of actors within it. There's a bit of a generational transfer in collecting, with certain older collectors that have been very active in the market for a long time aging out, not collecting quite as actively, but they're being replaced and added to by a younger generation of collectors that is far more global, that is quicker to act, that is buying at impressively high levels through the market and acquiring works in more and more diverse ways, whether it's purchases through online platforms, whether it's engagement in the Web3 and the NFT space, or whether indeed it is collectors coming through and buying from existing and new galleries that are coming into the ecosystem as well, again, on a very global basis. And I think that for a business such as ours lends extraordinary excitement to what we produce at a global level when we start scoping that across the world from Asia. And we're just weeks now from our show in Hong Kong, which is the defining art market event of the year in the Asian calendar. to Basel in Switzerland, which remains the commercial event of the art world globally on an annual basis, to Paris, which has this extraordinary resonance to it, and this year particularly as we move into the Grand Palais. And then, of course, to Miami as well, which harbors so much dynamism within the Americas context, both in terms of collectors from the US and Latin America, but also a younger generation as well that is coming to art with a different framework, that is looking at art in a more broad and expansive way, and that is engaging with art and culture through a number of different streams around the show, through music, fashion, lifestyle, luxury, et cetera. That's really exciting as we cast ahead into what's possible for our business and indeed for the art world and the art market moving forward.
Well, yeah, no, let me just ask you perhaps finally just about that specific point. You know, the role of the fair, I mean, obviously Art Basel centrally, but art fairs around, critically important, especially in driving new buyers to galleries. And we're talking about that excitement that goes with that. But I guess an attendant question I have for you is about the responsibility. And it always strikes me that you seem, I don't know personally, to wear this very lightly, but it's a critical responsibility, I guess, running a business like Art Basel, which is about staging the best work, reacting to all of this excitement globally with the requisite ambition. It's a fast-changing landscape. It's digital. All of these different things. That there is a lot of responsibility that sits on Art Basel, and I guess then on your shoulders. You wear it lightly, but how does that weigh? Does that ever weigh heavy, or are you excited every day when you get up and have to sort of react to those challenges?
Well, there's a tremendous responsibility, but we also have an acute focus on what's required regarding that. You know, first and foremost, we take unbelievably seriously our pact and our constitution with our gallery clients and their artists. We see it as a foundational element of our business to do everything we possibly can do to service our galleries and their artists in terms of staging these extraordinary events, leaving no stone unturned into how we produce the fairs from an operational standpoint, to how we create the urbanisms within the fair architecture itself, to all the programming around the shows and the sectors we create. It is why, under my leadership, we've appointed dedicated directors for each of our four fairs. And it's why we travel the world and spend so much time with our galleries in their places of business, understanding how their own programming is growing and adapting. And when we scope all of that together over the course of a year, you know, it's our absolute belief that pursuing the things we do in the cities we do with the ambition that we bring to the table puts our galleries in the best possible place to get out of our shows what they want and need for their own growth. Some of that is commercial, clearly, in terms of creating the right mechanisms for facilitating sales. A lot of that is also softer in terms of lead generation and media coverage and getting the right collectors and institutions, both existing and new, to the table to interact with them to keep everything spinning. So it's a huge responsibility we don't take lightly, but we believe equally that in all of our touch points and in our ambition to execute our shows at the highest levels of ambition and really get the best out of our galleries, that yields success. But it's not always easy. We have to have many hard and challenging conversations with our galleries about their presentations and whether one artist or one project is more or less appropriate in one city or another. Those aren't easy conversations, but you know, we firmly believe that tightening all of that on a global basis, little by little, makes Art Basel as a brand and our delivery that much more compelling and strong. And I think we're seeing that resonate with collecting communities and cultural audiences that come to our shows in increasing numbers with increasing commitment on a global basis.
Noah Horowitz. Well, next up, let's get the take of a UBS Global Wealth Management Chief Economist, Paul Donovan. Paul, always a pleasure to chat to you around UBS Global Art Market Report time with our friends from Art Basel too, of course. One thing, Paul, that jumped out at me straight away this year was this question of the relative resilience of the market in the face of declining sales at the top end. But this shift in luxury towards the experiential, and this is something that you and I have talked about on a number of occasions post-pandemic. My question to you, I guess, is anecdotally, I hear about this all the time, but does the economic science also back up that is a shift which is happening in a potentially inexorable fashion?
Yes, I think we are very clearly seeing a shift towards spending on having fun. And there's some hard data that backs this up. If we look at Europe, for example, consumer spending on durable goods, so that's the furniture and televisions and electronics and all that, that's been declining. It's been stagnating in the United States. But then when we look at leisure travel, at tourism, at fine dining, at restaurants and bars, we look at Beyonce and Taylor Swift, frankly, because that's people prepared to go out and spend more on enjoying themselves. And I don't think this is a temporary reaction to the pandemic. I think this is more long-lasting, it's more structural. We've changed how we work, we've changed our social priorities, and that means that people are prepared to spend more on having fun.
Now, the United States retains its leading position in the global art market. It's unrivaled, of course, isn't it? Close to, well, over 40% of sales by value, which is down, but it's still hugely significant. Interestingly, I thought China surpassed the UK now by a couple of points as the second largest global art market. Tell us a bit about that, because I guess we've seen further easing of restrictions on travel and that kind of thing. But there are some other factors in there, perhaps, that explain this sort of continuing ascendancy of China in this sector?
Well, I think what we've got to recognize is that last year, of course, at the start of last year, we're lifting the zero COVID restrictions. And China's consumers behaved much the same as European, UK, US consumers behaved when their restrictions were lifted, obviously quite a lot earlier, in that there's this sense of relief. Let's go out, let's be social, let's enjoy ourselves, let's go to galleries, let's, go out and have meals, let's go to art shows, let's go to fairs, and so on. And so that then leads to this very sudden increase in demand. Now, in terms of how sustainable that is, as we have seen elsewhere, after a while, this sort of settles down into a more normal pattern. So you get that sudden surge of relief, and then you get a more normal pattern emerging. And that may very well be what happens with China, as we look forwards. There is a slight caveat that I think we need to point out. So what's been happening? People have been taking, for example, a lot more holidays, a lot more trips. They've been very enthusiastic in that. But they've also been doing it a little bit on the cheap. So they've been taking more trips, but they've been spending less money per trip. So that just may be something to watch in 2024 with the Chinese middle class and their behavior with regards to art and collecting.
Well, Paul, I want to ask you a bit more about 2024 as we continue through the year and the outlook, perhaps a little further afield as well. We've discussed some of these themes in the past weeks and months on this program: the strength of financial markets, lowering interest rates, weakening inflation, some of these things which are generally provide a bit of a hopeful picture. And I guess, despite, as I said, maybe some moves in the wrong direction at the top end of the market, particularly stateside, the general resilience of the art market globally, would you say that also offers some cause for optimism as we look ahead?
I would argue that the global art market is not necessarily a driver. People don't tend to view art as an asset. So if your home goes up in value, if your equity portfolio goes up in value, that may make you feel more optimistic, and you'll think, well, I've got more money, so let's go out and enjoy ourselves. I think art is different because people are passionate about art. You don't necessarily look at a painting on a wall and think, well, that's something I could cash in at any moment, in the way that you might with equities, for example. So I think with the art market, what we're seeing here is actually more of a symptom of a general sense of almost comfort. People feel comfortable about life. They feel secure about life, particularly with, unemployment rates still very low, with other assets going up in value. People feel a certain degree of stability and security, and that then, is being reflected in the fact that, yes, they are willing to go out and, enjoy themselves and travel and so on, but they're also willing to follow their passions to a certain extent. So I would regard this more as a symptom of a relatively benign economic climate.
Paul Donovan. Well, now let's dive a little deeper into the Art Basel and UBS report itself now, with its author, returning guest and friend of the show, Claire McAndrew, founder of Arts Economics. Claire, welcome back. A pleasure, as always. Now, before we drill down into some of the detail of this year's edition. Just remind us about the frames of reference for the piece and how you put this undertaking together each year.
I mean, it's a key industry report, I suppose. There's a lot of reports on different segments of the market, on the auction sector and how particular sales did. But this attempts to put everything together for the year. And it's a kind of a benchmark assessment of how the market as a whole is doing, how the industry is doing. So we put together sales of auction houses and galleries and dealers and see how their sales are doing, as well as things like employment and profits and a whole range of other kind of metrics that we can gather and measure on the industry.
Well, Claire, look, let's dive straight into the key findings then. And I suppose there's some interesting headlines. We had a couple of years of growth and sales did slow in 2023, which was maybe to be expected because we had this kind of bounce back, didn't we, in 22. And there are a number of reasons. Some of them are kind of micro, lots of big macro ones that maybe explain that. But it's not too much of a cause for concern. Is that a fair conclusion in terms of how the report sets out that aspect?
Sure. I mean, I think we did have a pretty good run for a couple of years coming out of the pandemic. The art market bounced back remarkably quickly in 2021 and 2022. So we saw 2 years of growth and it nearly reached its highest ever level in 2022. It was about 68 billion. So growth did slow from that high point and we saw a fall in sales of about 4% to 65 billion. I mean, obviously not everyone doing badly, but parts of the market not maybe doing as strongly as they had in 2021 and 2022. And I think, you know, a key issue was that even some of the businesses that were doing well in terms of sales were struggling with costs. Costs was the big thing last year. You know, there's high inflation rates over the last couple of years. And this is, you know, not particularly unique to the art market, but I think the issues of the costs of doing business in this very event-driven market become that little bit more visible, I suppose, when sales are easing a little bit and a lot of businesses reflecting on what they're doing and how they can do it better. And it was interesting because we continued to see this kind of divergence in performance between different regions and between different segments of the market, but it kind of reversed the direction. So the markets that were doing well in 2022 slowed down a bit, and then we had some interesting surprises doing well as well. So it was an interesting year to analyze.
For sure. And I think the picture by geography is also interesting. The US, of course, the global powerhouse, and it consolidated its global market share, although ticking down a little. China, though, interesting. It includes Hong Kong, of course, and the mainland. The second largest global art market, the UK back in third place. Again, not huge moves, but significant nonetheless. I mean, that's an interesting marker, perhaps, of direction of travel ahead.
Sure. No, it was a very interesting year. I mean, the UK and China have had this kind of reshuffling for a second and third place over the last few years, but it definitely went in China's favor last year. And China was actually the bright spot in the market. So in 2022, we saw the US and UK having really strong sales, especially the US. It's had the best recovery overall. But the US slowed last year. It was a 10% decline to about 27 billion. And the UK slowed. The UK has been remarkably resilient, really, considering Brexit and all the things it's been through on top of the pandemic. But its sales finally slowed about 8% last year to just under 11 billion. But China was very interesting. It had a really bad 2022 as a lot of the market was still in kind of full COVID lockdown mode. But then the economy opened up again in January 2023, and we saw this kind of spring back, this boost in sales in the first half of the year. And the market as a whole grew 9% overall to just over 12 billion. So it was really a kind of a surge in activity in the first half of the year. A lot of the sales that were taking place in that early spring season were postponed inventories from the auction sector from sales that were cancelled or reduced or held back at the end of 2022. So we did see that kind of spike in activity, and that actually the second half of the year was a little bit slower in China, but it was definitely the bright spot of the year.
Let's talk about some of the most high profile and I guess highest priced works, because the US, again, it remains, isn't it, Claire? It's the sort of key global centre for those kinds of sales. A bit of a contraction, though, in terms of the market value. But I don't know, noteworthy? Are we expecting to see that dominance of the US in that space in particular challenged? Any other interesting aspects around that picture?
Yeah, I mean, the that was the real kind of clincher for the auction sector, particularly, was that the high end really slowed. So in 2022, we saw that the 10 million plus segment of the auction market really was the only one that was kind of pushing growth. And we saw that reverse completely in 2023. So the 10 million plus segment was the one that really dropped, and the values in that segment dropped by about 40%, and there was less lots sold as well. So it was much, much thinner at the top. And that's where the US lost a bit of its market, because it is the headquarters for the highest priced works of art. So they saw kind of imports slowing. It's a global hub for sales, and the high end cooling down last year. And that's really what caused that decline in sales. And it's also, you know, kind of what, the same thing in the UK. You know, the UK is very much a kind of a hub for high price sales also, particularly in Europe as well. And that's what really kind of finally kind of slowed those markets, is just a much thinner segment at the top.
Claire, I must ask you a little bit about online sales growth. And obviously, this is something we've tracked with a great deal of interest. The picture, it sort of became even more compelling, didn't it, post-pandemic, for reasons that are pretty obvious. But the online sales growth is interesting. Continued growth, despite these broader downturns, which you've already described. I think the market, 7% up from 22 into 23. Now, whilst that doesn't marry up with the 21 peak, it is, I think, at or close to double the level of 2019 or any previous year. And that's super interesting. And I think it's close to now a fifth of the market's total turnover. I think I asked you this last year, but is that kind of online growth? I mean, that's here to stay, right? This has changed irrevocably now.
Sure. I think online sales were fascinating last year, because obviously the market was slowing, but online sales within the markets continuing to grow, and dealers making more of their sales online. And we saw that bit of growth in the auction sector as well. So definitely something that's here to stay, and, you know, phenomenally big step up from where it was in 2019. And I think it's really interesting, because I think in 2022, when the fairs came back very strongly and the online was squeezed a little bit, there was a lot of talk about, okay, we're going to revert back to the way it was before, you know, and maybe all this has just been a knee-jerk reaction to the circumstances. But that was very clear last year in 2023 that wasn't the case. And this is very much a new kind of permanent shift upwards in e-commerce. And this is the market as it is, you know, that it's on this kind of dual online and offline track. I mean, it's still very much lower price levels. There is high value works being sold online as well, but it's still predominantly lower value price works. That's the majority of sales. And that will keep it a minority, I think, ongoing. But definitely the step up, it's not going to keep on reverting back to the way it was before. And this is a permanent change in the market. So it's been fascinating to watch.
Claire, perhaps just finally, it's interesting, you know, talking to Noah Horowitz about the utility of having this report, all of this information, these insights drawn together by such a skilled analyst as yourself. And Paul Donovan talked again about how useful it is and the difference that it makes when talking to and advising clients about their collecting or about the art market more broadly. This resource, just if you take a step back, you know, mentioned like 8 editions now, but you were kind of working in this space obviously for some time before that as well. What does this mean for our broader understanding of this marketplace? And I don't know, does the utility that comes from the report, do you have different reflections now, all these years later, in terms of what it can actually do and how it can aid decision making and understanding in a way that perhaps you couldn't have even imagined, I don't know, at the outset? Reflect a little bit on that journey, if you like.
Sure. I think that one of the key things that I've always seen this report as being important for is for the people that work in the art trade themselves. You know, one of the reasons that I started years ago doing the report for TFAF, which is a dealer-run fair, and what the dealers were finding, they were talking to governments, and the first thing the governments would ask them is, how big is the market that you operate in? How many people does it employ? And things like that. And there was a hole in the available information on those kind of key statistics. So if you're a lobbying government for a change or to explain to them how the market functions, you need those kind of statistics. So I think this report has filled the gap. But I mean, there's so many interesting areas of research now. You know, this is a kind of a benchmark report that's very much needed from year to year. But I mean, there's a network of smaller reports that I'm involved in as well, and other studies that are crucial as well that look more at the micro level. This is a very macro report. So, you know, the more research that's done on this fascinating market, the better. And there's a lot of things going on now outside of what's covered in this report as well. So artists making direct sales. We saw the boom in NFTs on external platforms. There's lots of different activity going on in different areas. So I think, you know, the more research done and the more understanding we can glean, the better. And I think that the lovely thing I've seen over my kind of tenure doing these reports is that I think people in the art trade understand that more now, and they're opening up a little bit more, and they understand the value of information and getting these kind of statistics made available both to the public to encourage collecting and to regulators and government to help them understand how these businesses operate.
Claire McAndrew. And that brings us to the end of this edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance each week on Monocle Radio. You can listen again and explore more at monocle.com or follow the show wherever you get your audio. You can discover more and find out how UBS can help you, and learn more about why UBS is so passionate in its support for art and collecting by heading to ubs.com. And it's to artbasel.com that you should head for more about the report and about the work of Noah and his colleagues all around the world, and to get your tickets for the Hong Kong Fair in just a couple of weeks' time. This is The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle Radio. I'm Tom Edwards. Thanks for listening.